Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Chambal Fertilisers and Chemicals Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gavin Desa from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sagar. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Chambal Fertilisers and Chemicals Q1 and FY26 earnings call. We have with us today Mr. Abhay Baijal, the Managing Director, Mr. Narendra Goyal, Business Head, Manufacturing Operations, Mr. Anuj Jain, CFO, Mr. Ashish Srivastava, Vice President, Sales and Marketing, and Mr. Sridhar Kumar Bharat, Vice President, Legal and Company Secretary. Before we get started, I would like to point out that some statements made and/or discussed in the conference call today may be forward-looking in nature and must be viewed in conjunction with the risks the company faces. Chambal Fertilisers and Chemicals does not undertake to update them. The statement in this regard is available for reference in the presentation. We will begin the call with opening remarks from Mr. Baijal. I would now like to invite Mr. Baijal to share his views. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Gavin. Thank you. Good day to everybody and a warm welcome to all of you participating in this call. For the quarter under review, on a standalone basis, revenues amounted to 5,698 crores. The EBITDA was 929 crores. The profit after tax was 638 crores, as against 552 crores on a year-on-year basis, with a growth of 16%. At the consolidated levels also, the company has performed well during the quarter, registering a PAT of 549 crores, as against 448 crores last year, which is about 23% growth. For the quarter, urea production volumes were 8.54 lakh metric tons, as compared to 9.03 lakh metric tons. Urea sales for the quarter were 8.41 lakh metric tons, against 8.87 lakh metric tons. Urea production was lower primarily because of some breakdown at our second plant, that is Gadepan II, but now that is normal. Subsidy receipts continued to be timely. The subsidy outstanding was rupees 1,326 crores as at the end of Q1. During the quarter, our sales volume of P&K fertilizers, consisting of DAP, MOP, NPK, and triple super phosphate, were strong at 4.21 lakh metric tons, as against 2.41 lakh metric tons last year, which is a growth of almost 70%. This has been driven by a prudent and strategic sourcing strategy and an enabling subsidy framework. Further, we have sourced adequate volumes of P&K fertilizer, ensuring preparedness for the Rabi season. Volume and sales growth for our CPCSN business continues to be strong at 32%. First quarter 2026, CPCSN revenues stood at 452 crores, as against 343 crores in the corresponding quarter, showing continuing momentum. Contribution for the quarter stood at 102 crores, which was higher by 21 crores as compared to last year. During the quarter, we introduced 13 new CPC products, primarily comprising of weedicides and insecticides. Today, our CPC portfolio comprises of 73 products of distinct chemistries, covering fungicides, weedicides, and insecticides, and these products are well accepted by farmers across India and our territory. Our strategy continues to focus on creating partnership and alliances for introducing better chemistries and increasing the width of offerings in our channel. During the quarter, we have started the seed business and introduced maize and bajra seed, which added 6 crores to the top line to the contribution of 2 crores. On the biological side, we have achieved revenue growth by 80% as compared to last quarter. Total revenue stood at 29 crores against 16 crores in the previous quarter, and as planned, a biological fungicide and nematicide will be introduced in Kharif 25 and Rabi 25, respectively, to address the farmer's pain point for nematodes and disease control. In short, CFCL is now increasingly focused on technologies which bring benefits in terms of improving farm yields, improve soil health, and provide better product outcomes. During the quarter, we have inaugurated Crop Protection Laboratory with our partner TERI, the Energy Resources Institute, which will develop 5 new biological crop protection patented products over a period. TERI, as you may know, is a pioneer institution in the area and will be doing this research under the Center of Excellence, which we have established to develop these new products. Our Seed to Harvest program, which is a pioneer program in meeting synergizing our contacts with our farmers, playing a significant role towards strengthening and expanding our relationships with both the farmer and channel partner. During the quarter, Chambal conducted over 700 farmer meetings, 420 demos, and have analyzed about 27,000 soil samples. We have also significantly expanded our use of social media to reach out to a large number of stakeholders and have launched Uttam Krishi Pathshala, which cover a webinar dedicated solely for educating farmers on various agricultural practices on social media platforms. Our technical ammonium nitrate project is progressing in line with stated timelines. All requisite statutory approvals are in place, and we have spent around 918 crores till June end 2025. Our joint venture Imacid is performing well. The increase in capacity of P2O5 from 5 lakh tons to 7 lakh tons is under implementation, which will optimize its operations and increase the profitability further. With that, we are now happy to take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star then one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Vishal Tudwala from Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So, good afternoon, sir. Am I audible to you?
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Vishal. Sir, if you're using a speakerphone, may we request to use the handset, please? The voice was echoing a little bit.
Okay. So, considering the broader macro environment, like where global fertilizer price remain elevated, currency volatility persist and the Department of Fertilizer policy shift. So how do you expect this factor to influence your urea and PNK fertilizer margins and volume for the rest of the year?
So let me take this question in two parts. The urea is a kind of formula-related pricing, and the margins are not expected to vary very much in the remaining part of the year. As far as NPK is concerned, there is, of course, you have to strategically purchase position basis the subsidy and the MRP that you can get in the market. But you're right that the prices have shown a degree of upward mobility, rapid upward mobility rather, in the last one quarter. Some signs of abatement are there, but we will have to see how it goes forward. However, our stocks are well covered for that.
Okay. And on a second side, like your crop protection chemicals, specialty nutrient, biologicals and seed segment delivered a standout 32% YoY revenue. And like you have launched 30 new CPC launches and entered into hybrid seeds. So could you unpack the respective contribution of CPC, SN versus biology versus seed segment?
No, all of them are more or less in the same contribution range, give or take 2 or 3%.
Okay. And what is your go-to market trend like across distribution, digital engagement with your Chambal, Uttam Connect and the field demonstration to scale these new products?
No, I will ask Mr. Ashish to speak about how we go about marketing this. So over to you, Ashish.
Okay. Thank you, Vishal. So your question precisely is on the digital interventions or on the seed to harvest program?
Yeah.
Can you hear me, Vishal?
Yeah, I can hear you.
So your question precisely is on the digital interventions in marketing or on the seed to harvest program?
Like across the distribution channels, or how are you new product are achieving?
So new products, you know, to start with, there is a, since the chemistries come from some other research partners, so we do a elaborative product launch. And then we have digital connectivity through some WhatsApp chatbot and Uttam Pharma Connect. So it is all these things are digitally spread to various stakeholders in the ecosystem.
And as you achieve the revised FY26 target of 1500 crore revenue in CPC and SN, so are we good in the run rate?
Yes, we are.
Okay, that's it from my end. Thank you for the answer.
Thank you, Vishal.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Prashant Biyani from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congrats on decent set of results. Abhay sir, what is your expectation from NBS subsidy in H2? And in that backdrop, what kind of traded fertilizer volumes can we see this year?
I would say that after the DAP and TSP side have been largely moderated by the government's new approach to keep the companies insulated from price shocks, we are trending back to our original numbers of billion ton plus.
Sir, is the price control for TSP there as well? Or I mean, not price control, but...
DAP, TSP are under price control. Other NPKs are not.
And government is reimbursing 1,000 rupee over and above the cost on both?
Yeah, more or less.
Okay. And sir, what is our trade inventory of credit fertilizer at the end of Q1?
Trade inventory, I would ask Mr. Anuj Jain to speak about how much sales we have made. What we are talking, I think, is the POS.
You're talking of
POS inventory, or are you talking about what we have in stock actually?
No, POS inventory only. I mean, which is lying with the channel.
Okay. POS inventory, please. Anuj, can you please enlighten us as at the end of June 30th?
Which product exactly is Prashant your query on?
All token. As our NPK comes from.
So we had a 160,000 odd tons of NPK, including potash inventory, as of end of 30th June.
In pause.
Sure. Right. And sir, Stan, by when are we planning the trial production for it? And since we are nearing the...
Trial production will commence early December, late November. And we should be starting production by middle January.
And sir, some color on EBITDA per ton on for TAN based on current realization, what kind of EBITDA per ton we can achieve?
The current prices, if I am not wrong, are between 35,000 to 37,000 rupees a ton net back. And I would assume that they would be in the region of 5-digit plus at the moment.
Okay.
So, Prashant, just one clarification. The POS inventory 160 is of NPKs. Total is around 260.
Okay. Then, sir, on urea norms, government was about to revise it either in CY or FY25. When is that happening and what kind of changes would you be expecting?
Which one are you talking about? There are two parts. One is energy norm and one is fixed cost. What is it that you...
Energy norms.
Energy norm, I think the government have informally told us the effect of that is already encapsulated in current results.
Can you elaborate what is the change in norm?
There is some reduction. And to that effect, the negative impact has been factored.
Okay. This would be a public document, sir, because this is relating to industry.
No, not yet. Not yet. It will be a public document as and when they publish it.
Okay. Sure, sir. I'll come back in the queue. I have some more questions.
Yes.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Viraj from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me. Yeah, just a couple of questions. First was on the earlier question pertaining to what the earlier participant was asking. So if you see for, you know, our unit one, hello.
Yes, Viraj.
Hello. Yeah, so, you know, if you see what the earlier norms were for us, you know, say for Garipan 1 and Garipan 2, we were around, in FY25, somewhere around 5.2 GCal per ton. And the group which we were under, group 3, I think the unit norms are somewhere around 5.5, correct me. So, the change which you're talking about is even below 5.2,
There are marginal variations from the current norm.
Okay. So, given that we were, you know, we have been taking this energy efficiency projects, you know, last 2 years we have seen a good amount of gains flowing in and we were looking at further efficiency projects. So, the impact of this in terms of per ton EBITDA cost, will that largely negate the efficiency gains or we should still see gains flowing, you know, for us even in 26 months.
Let's put this away, that the government does review the norms from time to time. And there is a, we need to continuously keep improving our norms, which we do. As you know, that we continue to do that efficiency itself through various efficiency projects. We have a pipeline of such projects stretching at least up to 2027. And those will come into position, and as they come into position, our consumption will actually come down again. So the delta which is there, that can keep varying a little bit here and there, but it will be constantly more or less maintained. That's what it is. We are well below the norms, being an efficient producer, and we will continue to maintain that gap between the norm and our operating parameters.
And the percentage sharing between of the gains between us and the government, that is, there's no change to that, right? It's just a tightening of the energy.
No, there's no change in the percentage sharing. What happens is, as the norm shift downwards, if you have not made adjustments to your own consumption by efficiency projects, you will tend to lose out.
Got it. So, just few more questions on the manufacturing area business. One is the Garipan 3 benefits. Is there now any communication, you know, in terms of what kind of a plan or a structure we would be post 2026 December?
So, as of now, no discussion on that has taken place.
So, assuming that you were kind of to the benefits similar to Garipan 1.3 for the Unit 3 as well, what kind of an impact one would see in terms of the EBITDA from this? Rough ballpark, not exact.
So we see the point is, as of now, they have not stated anything. All of it is speculative. and we don't believe in discussing speculative numbers out in the open. We have had no discussion absolutely with the government as to what line of action it will follow as far as the new plants is concerned. There could well be a different policy than what it is today. So let's wait till we get some clarity. As and when we get clarity, we'll definitely communicate.
Okay. And just one more question on the urea business. See, if you see the market per se, industry consumption is much higher than the production, and we are now back in deficit, and given the natural rate of growth in the consumption, years on the line, that would still be a much higher number than what we are today. But if you look from an investment point of view, in terms of any new greenfield at current prices and the structure, it doesn't seem to be remunerative. So from your interactions with the government, do you see any new policy being laid out for any new greenfield investment, or what is that reading, or communication you're getting from them?
So I can only tell you that the government is seized of the problem, and they can see the trajectory of growth in terms of consumption. We have seen sharp fall this year itself in terms of the inventories because of the accelerated demand due to slightly early rains, widespread rains, change in cropping patterns, growth of maize cultivation and all that. All of that is being factored into their thought process. Should they feel the need, they will definitely invite new participants, because you see, setting up the urea plants is a very capital intensive, time consuming business. And it is best carried out by those proponents of projects who have got prior experience in doing so. So in that sense, I think the government are quite seized of the matter as far as my understanding goes. How and what will happen in a short period or in a medium period, I can't say. But my understanding is that they are quite seized of the matter.
The discussions on new investment, if at all, with the government, are they more so that the driver of that would be a new policy similar to NUIP 12, or it will be more driven by deregulating the price?
I can't speculate. See, the point is, the government has, for your information, and I think everybody knows that, in the budget extended the policy for Namrup fertilizer. One can speculate. One could always think that, look, the same policy would be extended again if a new, because they have done it just about 3 months back, 4 months back.
Okay. I'll come back. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a request to all the participants to use only handsets while asking a question. Our next question comes from the line of Sandeep Mukherjee from SKP Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, can you please share the plant-wise production volumes and total ammonia sales figure for this quarter?
I will ask Mr. Anuj Jain to explain the plant-wise production and ammonia sales. If I am not wrong, you can take down ammonia sale as about 23,000 tons. Plant-wise, he will explain.
We had production of Gadepan 1 about 2.9 lakh ton, Gadepan 2 around 2.15 lakh ton, and Gadepan 3 about 3.5 lakh ton.
Okay, sir. And sir, what would be the volume in Imacid for this quarter?
Imacid volume, we had about 1.26 lakh ton we have produced.
And sir, last quarter, previous year, last quarter, what was it, sir?
This year, same quarter was 1.3 lakh ton. Last quarter, I don't have the information right now.
Okay.
YOY, it was 1.3 lakh ton.
Okay, sir. And sir, my last question is like, sir, on please throw some light on the recently ventured seed business. Like, what is the market size and sourcing or collaboration, if any, and the growth ambitions over there?
See, seeds is a very important part of the agri input segment. It's a very big market. In terms of the total size, you'll have to go through various sections of this. There is hybrid, there is open pollinated varieties, and so on. But our focus at the moment is on hybrid and research. So the products that we are talking about are maize, mustard, millet, research variety of wheat. These are basically our focus areas, because north-based company like we are, these are some of the things that will have traction in the market. We have started with something like the mustard and maize, bajra and maize, and we have done about, I think, 6 crores in sales, which is a very, we just made a small beginning. Of course, our Rabi ambitions are much higher. They will be an order of magnitude higher than what we have done in the brief. Yeah. As far as the total market size is concerned, which includes open pollinated variety and research and hybrid, marketing informs me is of the order of about 50,000 crores.
And sir, for this we are sourcing or we have a collaboration with someone?
We have got alliances. I have asked Mr. Ashish to speak about.
Sandeep, presently we have embarked on the seed journey through the white label business. That means we are buying a very popular product from top manufacturers. You know, we have tie-ups with the top manufacturers in all crop segments. It will not be okay for me to reveal the names, but we are in tie-ups with the best in business.
Best in class.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Amit Agicha from HG Hawa. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question was connected to the TAN project. Like you said, like by Jan, I think so we'll start the commercial production. And you said like 918 crores already spent. I think so what total capex that we are planning is 1645, correct?
Yes.
And so the balance, whatever we will be from the internal sources or you will be raising funds?
No. Please understand that the total project cost includes contingency, it includes tax, includes interest during construction and all that, correct? So you take it out from there, then the balance quantity that we have still to spend is of the order of 300-400 crores. And there are some other items in terms of housing and so on, or what you call as owner scope, that will get completed over time, but that has no connection with the production as such.
And so what will be the peak possibility of revenue from this plant once it is commercialized?
See, we have, normally you do not expect 100% production rate from day one. We have basically one operating quarter, that is middle of Jan to March. So assuming that we do about even 60-70% rate of production, then we are talking about 55,000-56,000 tons product. It sells at today around 35,000 to 40,000 rupees a ton. You can do the math.
Understood, sir. Thank you, sir. All the best for the future.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Prashant Kumar Hazariwala, an investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Prashant Kumar, your line is unmuted. Yes, please proceed.
Congratulations for good set of numbers, right? So my question is like, how long this Gadepan plant 2 was break down?
My memory is not wrong. It is about in two instances, a total of about 24 or 25 days.
One day.
So, exactly what time it was down for first time, like in May or like when it was down, like first time?
It was down in the month of May.
In the month of May. All right. So, my like my request for to you guys, like because I think because of this Gadepan, we have lost almost 20% of our revenue in urea. In urea, right?
You are right. 92 days, 20 days, or not 92 days will be close to 20%.
Right. So there is no.
Overall materiality Pardon? Is decided in terms of reportage to the stock exchanges.
Sorry to interrupt. Prashant sir, your audio is not very consistent. Your line is breaking.
Yes, hold on. So it was not reported into the to the stock exchanges, right?
And we are talking about materiality here, Mr. Adaiwala. It is not material enough.
20% is material. I think it's a concern to the investor.
No.
20%.
If you see the total EBITDA for the quarter, from that angle we are talking about.
We see total.
No, I'm talking about turnover point of view, right? Because turnover was down like 20% because of this problem, and investor doesn't know about it. And maybe some informal guys from somewhere, I don't know. But since May 6th or 7th, like that was the peak our stock has made, and then it has came down to this level. So that is where my concern is. Maybe some guys know about it or what, I don't understand.
No, Mr. Zariwala, let me explain to you. Most of the segment revenue reduction in this particular quarter as compared to last quarter is due to reduction in the prices of gas, which is of the order of 10%. And beyond that, the reduction which is there on account of this is of the order of, if I am not wrong, just 3 to 4% of that. So that is what...
20% volume doesn't make sense, like... Yeah, in the turnover, right? That is what you are trying to tell me, right?
No, no. When we are looking at contribution, definitely not to that extent. But even in the terms of the turnover of the total company, if you see on 5,000 crores or whatever we have reported, it is not even, it is about of the order of 2 to 3%.
No, for urea, last year we have done something like 3,600 crores kind of thing. This year we have done 3,100.
Please understand that the turnover depends on gas prices. This time gas
prices. Okay, so 10% is 10% is you can consider from the gas price, right? So another 10% will be from Gadepan 1, right? Gadepan 2, right?
No. I'm saying this is of the order of 2 to 3%.
Okay, all right. That was my concern is like 20 days, 24 days, like at least we can have one intimation about it. That will be good for investors.
So we will discuss this internally and get back.
Yeah, please. Okay. Thank you. Have a good day.
Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Falguni Datta from Mansarovar Financials. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, I have just two questions. One is on that energy change norm in urea. So how frequently does it change? Is there a duration that it changes after so many years each time it changes?
The government can be inconsistent on this and sometimes consistent on this. So this norm has been changed after almost
18, last
7 years.
After 7 years. Okay.
Yes.
But normally, is it supposed to change after 5 years, or there is nothing such thing, no such
no,
thing?
We have no such. They always in the policy will give a sunset clause in that. So
sorry, I missed you.
No, there is a sunset clause normally given.
Okay.
That this policy
okay.
will run from this time to this month.
Okay. So after this is, I mean, after this change, is there? Is it known now only as to when will be when will the next change happen?
No, we have no communication on that.
Okay. And so the other question.
This is not a published policy. This is on the basis of a discussion that was held between us and the department, and the
okay.
numbers that were given to us were have been factored into current year's first quarter calculation.
Okay. And so the second question is on the JV expansion, the forecasted 5 to 7 lakh ton. When is that going to come up?
My information is it is late 26,
okay.
maybe early 27, that kind of time.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all from me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next follow-up question comes from the line of Prashant Biyani from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again. Sir, how much is the net cash on balance sheet right now?
Around 1600 crores as on 30th June.
Sir, urea volumes from G3 plant, sales volume, not the production.
Sales volume. Can you please?
3.4 lakh ton.
Okay. And the gas prices for the quarter?
It is about $15.15 on NCV basis per MMBTU.
Okay. Sir, on the TAN plant, have we been able to calculate how much benefit are we getting from the state incentives, either annually or cumulatively over a certain period of time?
Well, the package that has been proposed is not yet, in a sense, signed off. It is in the advanced stages of being signed off. There is a RIPS policy in this, and RIPS means Rajasthan Investment Scheme. There is a certain percentage of the total hard project cost, that means excluding interest during construction and certain other things, of which I think a certain percentage, if not wrong, between
20 to 25%,
which comes back as some sort of per year payment over a period of 10 years. That means roughly 2 to 3% of the hard cost of the project per year. 2 to 2.5.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then what is the hard project cost for us?
If I'm not wrong, it is about 1100 crores, 1100 crores.
Yeah, around 1100 crores.
Okay. And sir, no incentive on GST or interest subvention?
No, I don't think there are any such schemes in RIPS.
Okay. And sir, what is the quantum of impact of energy norm reduction which we have taken provisionally?
It is low double digits per quarter.
20 crore, 50 crore?
No, low double digits. Very low double digits.
Okay. And sir, any informal talks with the government on fixed cost reimbursement, that revision is also pending for many years?
I have absolutely no idea what they are doing.
Okay. And sir, how much is the massive investing for phosphoric acid expansion?
See, there are two parts to it. I think the first part, phosphoric acid plant, is about $40 to $45 million. And there is a sulfuric acid plant which has to come after that. That is of the order of $120 to $130 million.
Okay, and as sulfuric acid capacity will be how much? I mean the expansion.
If I'm not wrong, it is something of the order of 3,200 tons per day, but I'll have to check that.
Right. And
it's a
sir,
kind
just
of a
last.
Balancing, it's a kind of a balancing capacity. We have got already. There is a boosting up of the capacity which is there already. So I'll have to check that, but if my memory is not wrong, it is about 1 million ton plus.
Okay. So just lastly, how do you see the channel inventory in fertilizer for the industry?
For the industry, that
yeah.
I'll ask Ashish to give a comment.
Prashant, we don't have access to the channel inventory data, but if you look at the industry stocks, it is down. Urea stock or each commodity stocks are down.
But I mean, is it like the shortage would be such that whatever the industry sells in Q2 will just go off the shelf, and hence the volume growth can be healthy for Q2 as well as Q3? Is it that kind of situation?
See, whatever inventories are available at port or and plant is a continuous operation, so they will produce and sell. So there is not much inventories in the pipeline. That's what I can say.
No, but I think, Prashant, what we are trying to get at, there is some amount of truth in that, that the demand is fairly, fairly strong. And supplies, both from self-production as well as imports, are running a little short. So therefore, there would be a kind of quick liquidation of.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much for answering the questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Viraj from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just two questions. One is, I think in the past we talked about us evaluating different capital projects, be it in the nitric acid value chain or other segments and agri input value chain. So any color you can give, any update?
No, at the moment our complete focus is on getting the technical ammonium nitrate plant off ground, commissioning it. There are additional variations in the product, let us say like LDAN, which are being, for which certain type of engineering is being progressed. But that is technically ammonium nitrate only a different version of it. We have got three versions of it. Two versions of it are already there, which is HDAN, which is high density, and then there is a melt, ammonium nitrate melt. There is a third category which is called low density. So for that, the engineering part is on. That is a significant an addition to the portfolio of the technical ammonium nitrate project.
Okay, and on the crop protection, any color you can give in terms of the network coverage now and of the sales which we have now, say again FY25, how much of the sales are outside our core network of urea and how much is through the urea channel?
We are quite a bit focused on our urea channel. Quite a bit of our people have in the channel width itself, in terms of there is still some way to go in our fertilizer channel itself. However, we are beginning to pick up stray one or two kind of people who are purely from the CPC channel, not very big participants in the fertilizer channel. And they are beginning to get familiarized with our product portfolio. But it is a process which will take some time. The fertilizer channel itself is quite offering quite big opportunities in terms of growth as of now.
Okay. And we were also engaging with few MNC players for introduction of 9-3 or unique products in the portfolios. Any update on that?
I will ask Ashish to answer.
Viraj, can you repeat your question?
I think we were in the past talking about talks with various MNC players for introduction of specialty molecules or 9-3 products.
Yeah, it's an ongoing process, Viraj. We keep adding molecules every year. This year we have added, I think, 13. So it's a continuous process. We keep adding it in the portfolio.
No, but of these or in the pipeline, are there any specialty molecules or 9-3 products?
Majority of them are specialty products in 9-3.
So any color you can give, who are the partners here, the products which you have launched?
Difficult to, they are not,
difficult to name them. Difficult to name them.
But looking okay. At what the existing portfolio, we always deal with some very good player, best in class.
Okay. Thank you very much. Good luck.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Pawan Nahar, from an investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So my question is on Gadepan 3 or the urea unit. As I understand, we have an 8-year policy period in which we are entitled to incentives. And thereafter, there will be changes. So if you can explain what are these incentives and what will be the changes that come across, you know, in 2027. And later, if you can quantify what would be the impact after that.
Ms. Nahar, the change that will come about, let me speak to you. We have not initiated any discussions. Rather, the government has not initiated any discussion with us. What shape, form it will take. That is something still, at the moment, not even on the first paper on the file. That's what I can say. The second part is as to what is currently the scheme. Currently the scheme is a normative scheme. It says that for a certain dollar value of your gas, a certain amount shall be paid at the base level, and as the price increases from that, linearly an addition shall be made to the product price at the rate of something like $20 per ton of gas. For every $20 of ton, as for every $1 increase in gas price. That is currently the policy. At a base of something like $285, that is how it goes. Now, as far as the new policy is concerned, whether it will be still norm-based, whether it will be on unit cost basis, we don't know. As I've said to you, the first paper on the file has not yet been put.
No, sir, I understand that. Please go on. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, Pawan, go ahead.
Yeah, so basically, I get it that, you know, government has not initiated any policy discussion. Still, we would be having some assumptions. Let's say, you know, we are right now in a zone where there is perhaps only us or maybe another company which is getting the pricing, but pricing, I will not use the word benefit, I'll use the word pricing or a formula. Now, if after the 8-year period, we go back to the formula which is being applied to the other urea units, what would be the change for us? So let's say today our contribution is X dollars. How much would that become? Because see, I read that in the policy document, perhaps, if I got it right, the band for ROE is between 16% to 20%. And I see that without leverage, the company has been able to make good ROE, but there is no point in me getting in there because there are multiple things into that ROE or multiple businesses. So if you can just simply tell me that if the policy were to transition from the existing units, formula which the existing units.
The existing unit formula is a 12% return on net worth policy. Correct.
Right.
So that is for the unit based specific net worth.
Right.
So it is a matter of, plus there are costs, etc., which have to be reimbursed. What kind of cost, how much cost will they reimburse? That's what I'm saying. As of now, the current policy for 1 and 2 is a 12% return on net worth policy. But when they actually effectuate it, what exactly will be the number is something is difficult to hazard a guess. Of course, there will be a reduction. I know what you are driving at. Question is, what is the extent of the reduction? And that is what we are not hazarding a guess at. The company has its own estimations, which I am not going to share with you at the moment.
Okay. Fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next follow-up question comes from the line of Falguni Datta from Mansarovar Financials. Please go ahead.
Sir, I just missed on what you said on that Rajasthan government incentive for the TAN plant. So on that hard cost, project cost of 1100 crores, what benefit are we supposed to get? And is that part?
It is about, for 10 years, let us say about 2% of the cost per year or something like that.
So 2% of the project cost, which is this 1100 crores?
Yes.
Over a period of 10 years?
Yes. That means every year you will get 2%.
Every year we get 2%, so...
It adds up to 20%.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Ranjit from IIFL Capital Services. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question, in the past, we have shared our aspiration to go global as well, probably tapping some assets for complex fertilizers so that we can use the phos from IMACID. So any update on that front?
I can only say that we are working on it. In contact with the parties.
So any outer timeline I would like to share for concluding this?
These are long drawn out and very complicated discussions. It has stop and start options in between. Sometimes you walk away from the table, sometimes you walk towards the table. You know how negotiations start. We don't put timelines. We only hope for the best results for ourselves. It is like the India-US trade deal. People are walking off the table, they are back, coming back to the table. So that things happen all the time, right?
But it's certain that the deal is going to happen.
I can't say. I mean, how can I say what the other party, as long as there is a willingness to negotiate, something will happen.
Sure, sir. Thank you. That's helpful. Second question is on the TAN business. So what are your thoughts on the demand-supply dynamics, at least in India, and how soon you'd like to see it getting ramped up? Then lastly, the government has also opened up export quota, so how do you see that as well? Thank you.
You see, TAN, the market is expected to be short for a short while, I would say, and then go along as some capacities come into position. But if you see the overall environment, I was with the Coal India chairman, ex-chairman, in fact, sometime back. they are going from 800 million tons of mined coal to 1.5 million tons by 2032 in the various collieries that they have. They are themselves putting up a plant on coal waste, which they say will be fully absorbed, and they will still be short again on that quantities. So in the longer run, with the infrastructure push that we have to coal, and you know that the government have asked for 100 gigawatt of power capacity, coal-based power capacity addition, out of which about 70 to 80 gigawatt has achieved FID. So we can see that there will be growth. There may be intermittent phases in which there will be market could be a little long, and where there will be some pressures in terms of prices. But on a long-term basis, you see that so far we have grown at 5 to 6% CAGR. It will grow at that kind of rate. I am quite optimistic that the demand-supply situation is in the favor of the suppliers.
Yes, and the export front, so we'd also like to tap those
opportunities. Export front is mostly, see, export mostly is LDAN. LDAN is a product that is mostly exported. And we are, as I told you, doing the engineering work for that. And as and when we have completed that, of course, that will be post the implementation of this particular phase of the project. That will be phase two of the project. So,
thank you.
It will take us some time to get to that phase where we can't do too many things at the same time. Please understand. There is a first basic phase one that you do, and then you go to the next stage. We will definitely look into that. Look into that means we are already committed into doing that kind of project. And so far after that, then we will see how the market plays out.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sandeep Mukherjee from SKP Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
So, sir, thanks for the follow-up question. Sir, can you throw some color on the CapEx plans for this year, apart from TAN?
We have some ongoing projects. I will ask Mr. Anuj Jain to tell us what is the extent of the normal replacement capital expenditure, etc., committed for this year.
Hello?
Yeah, 1 minute. Normal capex plans are there. It's about 250 crores worth of projects we have.
These are ongoing projects, phase-wise expenditures.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Our next follow-up question comes from the line of Amit Agicha from HG Hawa. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the follow-up. So my question was, can you, the G2 urea plant, has it resumed full operations, and what was the exact impact on volume and profitability? And connected to that, what will be the planned maintenance shutdown schedule in FY26?
See, there will be a Gadepan 2 is scheduled to go in March 26 for its annual turnaround, since the second year of operation would have completed. As far as this loss of 55,000 tons is concerned, the total loss of production would have costed the company in terms of contribution about 17 crores.
Thank you, sir. That was fantastic.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Prashant Biyani from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, we are around the corner to commence our TAN plant and our cash generation will increase further. So, sir, any plans of future capacity expansion except from the long pending discussion on complex fertilizer?
Mr. Biyani, do you know how much time it takes to, let us say, just for argument's sake, take to plan a 9,000 crore capex, let us say, hypothetically speaking, on a plant like Gadepan 4 or Gadepan 3?
No, sir, I am not aware of the technicality.
Even a million ton or something of that sort, NPK plant. There is so much to be done, which, and in terms of tie-ups and either in policy or in, discussions with parties and so on. So, definitely the company is not going to sit on its cash. Going to do something about it. I cannot put a finger on the date and time for these things. That's all I can.
So, I mean, except on the complex plan, whatever has been the discussion, outside of that, any other thing we want to pursue, and
in the sense that we have two other three lines of businesses, seeds is there, specialty nutrients are there. All of them present either organic or inorganic opportunities. And not only that, there could be alliances or collaborations there as well. These are businesses that we need to grow, and you can see the way that we are growing them. Sometimes the growth will come through alliances or supply arrangements. Sometimes it will come through collaborations and joint manufacturing. Sometimes it will come through sole manufacturing. What pathway will actually happen is in the future, depends on the market, depends on the grades that we are doing, the kind of products that we are doing.
Sir, in case of alliances, I would believe cash outlay will not be that high. So any decision?
We can go into the same, with the same partner, joint manufacturer.
Sir, you have been giving feelers for quite a while. Sir, anything more than that, if you can say, that will be great.
See, if I had something to say and it was approved by the board, definitely I would say.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you all gentlemen for this very engaging 1 hour of conference. I hope to have been able to answer your questions. And if there are any follow-up questions individually, that can be, then Mr. Anuj Jain is there to take them. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Chambal Fertilizers and Chemicals, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.